Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation. Good morning and welcome this morning to Main Street United Methodist Church, and a very special welcome to all of you that are visiting with us this morning. Special welcome to all of our scouts and their parents for being with us this morning. We hope that you have a very meaningful worship experience with us and will come back to visit us often. I want to ask that members and visitors alike please register your attendance as the attendance pads are passed down the pew and then pass those back to the center aisle. The person on the center, please tear those off and place them in the offering plate later in the service. Remind you of our Wednesday night gathering series, which continues this Wednesday night. You can make reservations using the cards that are in the pew. Reverend Dennis will be continuing with the study of the book of Acts, and Lee Roberge will be continuing with her aerobics walk throughout the church. Also, a reminder that we still need volunteers for our food pantry that takes place on Thursday afternoons from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock. We need persons to be there to take information from those that are receiving food during that food pantry. So if you do have time to serve in that capacity, please contact Mary Dula and let her know that you would be willing to serve in that capacity. A special thank you to all of you who have agreed to house students next weekend. Kelly has enough families now to house all of the students who will be here visiting us, so thank you very much for that. And now I ask that you all sit up very straight in your pews, because Kelly is going to give us a singing lesson this morning. So sit up straight and be prepared.
I expect Rudy to sit up especially tall. I want to direct your attention to the closing choral response that we sing together this week on the second page of your bulletin. I want to note to you that this particular benediction was written by one of our very own choir members, Dick Blosser, and I want you to take a moment and look at the words while I have Joyce play through it one time so you can hear it. I want you to listen one more time, and I'm going to sing it for you. All the world belongs to God, and we know that we are His, and to see His grace upon every face, what a beautiful world. Now I want you to try to sing it with me this time. All the world belongs to God, and we know that we are His, and and to see His grace upon every face. What a beautiful world it is. Thank you very much.
Please stand for the call to worship. If the fiend of fear darkens your step, if the demon of pride dogs your trail, hide. If the frost of winter nips at your heels, if the chill of death sits on your bones, God will guide us in slippery places. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, for they shall find refuge and strength. Thank you.
Please be seated. Lord, if we have fallen on the track, we pray for strength to struggle to start running again. If we run but trip those next to us, stop us and have us lift them. As we run, keep our eyes fixed not on the prize of this world, but on the treasure of your kingdom on the earth. Yours is a treasure imperishable, a trophy sanctified. It is a laurel that rests on the head, inquiring into the truth, the heart searching for your will, and hand reaching to the neighbor. We run into your kingdom coming, and to your kingdom eternal. Amen.
I do want to welcome everyone, all of our scouting representatives and participants and leaders and parents. And just briefly, I would like to ask Carl Kelly to come forward to share a few words about a program that we've been working on and is now ready to come to fruition. I'm going to ask our sound man to turn the mic down just a little bit.
Good morning. It's with great excitement that I come this morning to report on a project that was initiated by the Outreach Communications Committee. This committee started about a year ago with contact groups across the church with the challenge to develop five new brochures, brochures that will be used to help recruit new members into our church. These brochures are designed to speak from groups from college to senior adults, people that may be looking for a new church home in the Greenwood area. The process began with congregational contact groups where many of you participated. We explored life issues facing each group and the ways that our faith addressed those. Our goal is real simple, to expand our Christian family. What if we could double our congregation over the next 5 years? Let me give you some of the examples of the titles for young families, Growing in Faith. For Single, Single Again, Always a Place for You. For College and Young Professionals, Building New Beginnings. For Empty Nesters, Growing in Faith and Service. These titles may never make a bestsellers list, but they offer a tool for all of us to help relate to a broad audience outside our church, to bring new smiling faces into our family. I'm going to ask that you help in two ways. First, I ask that you join us, 10 to 20 different families in the church, and agree to contribute $100 to $250. That money will be used for the first edition printing of about $2,500. Secondly, as these brochures are developed, participate. They provide a method, a tool, that we can reach out to people around us and bring them into our church. I want to conclude with a closing from one of the brochures. We look for God in the warmth of hearts, in the promise of the gospel, in the community of faith, and the joy of fellowship. We invite you to join Main Street United Methodist, where we're building on a strong foundation. Help us all build on this strong foundation. Thank you.
As we enter our time of prayer together, I'd like to call your attention to our concern list. John Reed is Patty Nichols' father, who had back surgery this past week. Camille Wolfe is home and would like to be taken off the list. Joe Gallagher is home and recovering from surgery. Edgar Davis, Louise Weber, Joyce Bartless, Lieutenant Brad DeLoach, Beth Gray, your former pastor, Reverend Patty Griffith Falau, David Abney, Bette McCord Bly, and also I've heard that Gail Eigelhart has cracked her kneecap. Is that proper? Is that her knee? And needs to be in our prayers and also in some practical ways that we need to support Hayden and Gail. Let us, with our own private concerns and thanksgivings and these as well, go together to God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, Living Lord, guiding Spirit, we pray for the church, that it might be a house of welcome for all who come. We thank you for all the people we meet here in your church, and for those who pray, and for those who laugh, and for those who care enough to cry along with us. For those who teach, and those who sing, and for those who look like us, and for those who are different. For the young and the old, the married and the single. All your family under grace. Help us to open wide the doors of this church and to put out the welcome mat, to live as people who delight in the widening circle throughout Greenwood and beyond, as together we rest and rejoice in your love. God of justice and mercy, we pray for the world that you have given us as our home and what we have made of it. We thank you for all of nature, for all the bright colors of birds and flowers, and for the touch of the gentle breeze, and for the sound of running water and laughter of children and good friends. We thank you for home, and for people who have lived here for many years in this congregation, and for those who have recently arrived and made it a richer place. We pray for our leaders and our churches, and for our leaders of the nations of this world. May we all be open to the wisdom and influence of your Spirit. God of love, we pray for our homes, for our children, and for those who we have influence on. May our faith shine brightly as a beacon to bring others to you. Now, Lord, help us. Help us know what to pray for one another, for ourselves. Help us to pray as we make the difficult decisions that make up a direction in our lives. And we pray now for those for whom we are concerned, for those who grieve, for those who are ill in hospital, for those who are in nursing homes, for those who are recovering from surgery, and for those who will not recover. Hear now the private prayers of our hearts as we lift them up before you. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. I want to invite the children down front now for the children's message with Chip Stockman.
Good morning, everyone. Do you think that when Jesus was a child that he had rules he had to live by? Yeah, I think he did too. And part of those rules we have too in our Bible, and they call them the Ten Commandments. And then the Ten Commandments were given to Moses, and then Moses interpreted those, and they came out with a lot more laws. But those laws are just rules in which we want to live by. Now, one of the things is after Jesus began his ministry, somebody asked him, they said, what is the greatest commandment? What do we really have to do? And he said, first of all, you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and you must love your neighbor as yourself. So my question to you this morning is, how can you love your neighbor as yourself? And what rules do you have, and how should you treat them? How do you think?
be a good friend.
To be a good friend. That's a very good answer. And there's a lot of ways that we can be a good friend. Well, y'all see me with my suit on today. Everybody see my uniform? Jacob's got his. Haley's got hers. We have a bunch of people out here with these uniforms on. These are our scout uniforms, okay? And Scholar's got his on. So in Boy Scouting, we have what we call the Scout Law, okay? And there's 12 different things that we try to do to say we're going to live by the Scout Law. And I like to think that Jesus would have made a really good scout, okay? Because I think he would have done all 12 of those things, and he would have done them really well. And those things are, we're going to be trustworthy. That means we're going to tell the truth. People can trust us to know that we're going to do the right thing. We're going to be loyal to our family. We're going to stand up for them. We're going to be there when they need us, right? We're going to be helpful. Everybody going to be helpful today? Y'all know how to be helpful. Friendly, that was your idea. Courteous, we're going to have good manners, all right? Kind, we're not going to mistreat people or mistreat animals or anything like that. Obedient. Obedient comes from the word obey. Mom and dad tell you to go do something. Guess what that means? Probably got to do it, right? Yeah. Cheerful. Happy. Okay. Thrifty. Does anybody know what the word thrifty means? That's kind of an old-timey word. Thrifty means you're just not going to waste anything. You're not going to waste money. You're not going to waste resources. You're not going to... I tell you what, Miranda and Jacob and Amelia will tell you that I am a recycle nut. Okay? That's just one way of being thrifty, okay? Brave. What is brave?
It sort of means, like, don't be afraid to do something.
That's exactly what it means. And I think somebody heard said recently, when you know you got to do something, you're going to be brave. You might have to do it scared, but you still got to do it, right? All right? Clean. Clean is not only taking a bath and brushing your teeth and washing your hair, but it's paying attention to what you're watching on TV, what you're looking at on the computer, okay? And reverent. And reverent means that we're going to pay attention to what we believe God wants us to do, and we're going to work hard to do that, but we're also going to respect other people who believe God's telling them to do things, and they worship in a different way than we do. So let me close with a prayer, if you'll bow your heads. Lord, we thank you so much for the gifts of rules and commandments that you have given us. And we so much want to live by your rules and your commandments. And we ask your blessings on each of us and our families. And we ask you to help us to be that person that you need us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, choir. Now let us share our joy by the passing of the peace. Let us pass the peace.
A reading from the book of 2 Kings. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read this letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message: "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This reading comes from 1 Corinthians. "Do you not know that in a race the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air, but I punish my body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for giving us enough for all of our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your house. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Hear now God's word from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter beginning with verse 40. And a leper came to him, beseeching him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And he sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to the people." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in the country, and the people came to him from every quarter. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, we do have some visitors here today, parents and scout leaders, and I do especially welcome you. And sometimes when you visit a new church, especially one with our high church architecture and liturgy so far, you wonder just how am I supposed to behave? And you wonder if something in the sermon stirs me, am I allowed to say amen? Well, about once a year at Main Street, we allow an amen. It's early in the year. We have not had one yet. If you feel inclined, that's okay. It won't hurt the preacher's feelings. Now, to the moms and the dads and volunteers who spend time with these scouts, I salute you, but I don't really know how to salute you because scouting died when I was a weebolo in my hometown. And Woodruff scouting got down to one scoutmaster, and he had one terrible, rambunctious camp out, and he quit. And he took the equipment, and he took the bus, which was his, and the whole program folded. Rumor had it that on that particular camp out, he warned a scout, and he warned a scout, and he tied him to the tree overnight. It might have been time to retire. Chip, I don't know. Chip's looking down like, well, I've done that. I don't know. I heard another story about some upstate city scouts who went camping down around where I used to be for 7 years, Bamberg, in the swamps of the low country, where the mosquitoes are prehistoric and roughly the size of small birds and have hypodermic needles as mouths. And these upstate boys were hiding under their blankets, and one of them peeked out and saw a swarm of lightning bugs, and he cried out, "We might as well give up, boys. They're coming after us with flashlights." Now, I used to love reading the hero stories in Boys Life. Is there still a Boys Life magazine? They had a hero story of the month. Now, scouting for boys and girls is always about being prepared and about helping and serving, prepared to save yourself or to act calmly and to save others who are in trouble. And I love those hero stories, and I always wanted to be one. Now, it's fashionable now, I am afraid, to make fun of the values of scouting in some circles. I mean, faith and patriotism, integrity and honesty and thriftiness and heroism. It's fun. People make fun of those values until they need someone who lives them out. A former scout who's now engaged to my daughter Christina, named Adam. Well, Adam and my daughter were driving a few years back on a dark back road to Columbia from Bamberg, and Adam saw what he thought were some taillights off in a ditch. And they turned around to see if they could help, and they found, yes, it was a car, and there was a badly shaken up woman laying out beside her upside down car. And to make matters worse, she spoke only Spanish. But so did Adam. And using his basic first aid training, he called 911, he assessed her situation, he calmed her down, and he stayed to interpret for the EMS workers. Now that's the kind of story that I used to love to read in Boys Life, and I still do. Part faith, and part highly developed sense of right and wrong, and part good citizenship, all played out in the world. We all need help from time to time. And Jesus lived out a life helping others, a life offering help and hope beyond just physical needs. He offers help and hope for the woundedness and the weakness and the neediness in our souls. Now, this will sound wrong when I first say it, but it's true. In a way, I am jealous of AA members. In a way. I really am, because they start each meeting by saying, "My name is so-and-so, and I am an alcoholic," and they move on from there. Well, we ought to start worship by saying, "My name is Jim, and I am a sinner. I am broken. I am wounded, but thanks be to God, I am being healed. And I look forward to final healing and salvation through Jesus Christ, who was also tempted by sin. He was lied about. He was broken by this world. He was wounded and he was rejected." You see, Jesus has scars. Jesus has scars. There's something funny about boys, and I think it is only boys. Boys are proud of their scars. They are. My old friend David Schmidt, years ago, he had an emergency appendectomy, and his appendectomy, well, his appendix was apparently not where it was supposed to be. He had never studied anatomy. And the surgeons had to cut a much larger cut than they normally do. So he had this huge scar. And when he would go swimming and, you know, have on just swim trunks, he made up these stories about this horrific knife fight that he had been in. Boys love scars. I mean, girls, not so much. I could ask some of these boys here, who has the best scar? Somebody here has a really good scar and a story behind it, don't they? Nobody's going to raise their hand, but I know they do. They compare them. But scars prove something. We can be wounded pretty badly and we can still heal. We're here. We're alive. Jesus knows and God knows what it is like to be me and to be you. We are all wounded. And if we pretend to be perfect, and if you as a Christian pretend to be perfect, will we take away one of God's best stories? Salvation for the wounded and the weak by the cross of Jesus Christ. If we were perfect, if we were even perfectible, then Jesus and His cross would become optional, and I think that is an insult to God. We are not perfect, and we are not even perfectible outside of God's help. We need God, and we need each other. That was God's vision for creation from the beginning, wasn't it? Now back to the leper. In Jesus' day, a leper was as good as dead. And their only company was other lepers. And their future was disfigurement and then death. They were required to cry out and to warn people when they were coming, to cry out, unclean, unclean. One cried out to Jesus, help me. You can heal me if you want to. And Jesus said, I want to. And Jesus did. Now, can you imagine the joy of being cleansed from such a walking death and how thankful you would be? Well, remember what it is that Jesus has done for us. Remove the guilt of our sin. Remove the dead weight of guilt from our hearts. Remove the fear of death. Jesus has loved us. He has forgiven us and made us able to feel again. Life and hope. And an open future. Now these things are worthy of gratitude, worthy to be passed on to others in need, and we are all in need. And we all have scars. Many of them are self-inflicted. And sin is the root of most. And leprosy is almost a perfect analogy for sin. You see, leprosy medically starts in small spots and it spreads either eating up healthy flesh or turning healthy flesh into insensitive leather where you can no longer feel. It deadens the nerves so you can't feel. You don't even know that you're hurting yourself. You don't even know when something is infected or broken or bleeding. Unless a leper looks at the wound, he would never know that it is there. It is exactly the same with sin in our lives. Sin starts in small secret patches and spreads, eating up our lives, leaving sometimes great big holes where healthy soul once was. Sin deadens the nerve so we don't even know that we are hurting ourselves or hurting others. And in sin, you sometimes cannot feel how spiritually sick or broken you are unless you look at the sin. You might not realize it can consume you and make your life a grotesque thing without your ever feeling a thing. One bad choice after another bad decision at a time, each one freely made and turning us further away from God until we find ourselves out way deep and crying, someone save me. But there is good news. There is good news. Don't miss it. Cry out, God save me, and God will. In Jesus' day, lepers were indeed treated as if they were already dead. The very minute that it was diagnosed, according to Leviticus, they were cast out of the community and they had to stay outside of the camp and yell at everyone, I'm unclean, and stay away from everybody else. When this unclean man reached up to Jesus and Jesus took his hand, imagine that moment. The need was so great and Jesus' compassion was even greater. He touched a leper. But there is a big mystery here. A mystery which might affront our sensibilities. We like to believe that Jesus is in our blessings, that Jesus is in our good choices and in our discipline and in our health and our wholeness, and we like to think that that is where Jesus resides. And sometimes we think that God is absent. We say, Jesus, where did you go when there's some disorder or some dis-ease of our mind or soul or body? So often I've heard people wonder out loud, where is God when I suffer and when I hurt, when I cry out in pain? We wonder that only because we've read the gospel with our minds, but we haven't really read it with our hearts. Our hearts should know that Jesus is with the outcast. He is touching the lepers. He is forgiving the adulterers just before the stones fly. Jesus is drawn to and He is sidetracked by. He is stopped and He is mobbed by the ill and the disturbed and the demon-possessed. That is where Jesus is in your Bible and in mine. But somehow we have domesticated Him and we keep Him in clean brick buildings and orderly pews and fresh pressed clothing. Just looking out, if I did not know you all better, I would think that no one here has a problem in the world. But I do know better. I am truly and deeply becoming your pastor. And besides, after 25 years, I know that there is brokenness and dis-ease of soul on every single pew. The greater the pretense of perfection, the more horrible what lies underneath. The truth is we need each other and we need God and we need people willing to help and willing to be helped. We are broken. We need God as lover of our souls and forgiver of our sins and maker of peace, because a lot of us are just one drop of the hat from starting some private little war at home or work or you name it. And you know it. This I know because I know people. And I'm not sure of the grammar here, but because I am people. And all of us have sinned and all of us are broken. Now where is the good news? Let me remind you. First, it is good news that Jesus hangs out with and He stops and He spends time with and He grabs the hands of and He offers healing and hope to those who know that they are wounded and broken inside. Jesus, of all things, died nailed to a cross, knows about suffering and what this world does to us. We all have scars. It's bad on the one hand, but remember, living people with scars proves that healing does happen. Yes, bad things happen. But the love of God and the people of God, when we do it right, can facilitate real healing of souls and real wholeness and belonging right here and right now. No pretense of perfection is required. Nobody thinks that I am perfect. In fact, I think my wife is sitting somewhere over there. Where is Caroline? Am I perfect? Okay. No. But that's okay. Caroline is not my judge, ultimately. God is my hope, and God is my healer. And God is who invited me into this ministry, into this church of His, and God has made me brother of you all and made us brothers and sisters and debtors to one another, no matter the wound, no matter the wound. There's an ancient tale of Francis of Assisi. He was riding on horseback through the countryside and he saw a poor leper by the side of the road begging with his wooden bowl. The leper's grotesque features jarred his sensibilities and he recoiled a bit in horror and looked away, and then recovering just a bit, he tossed some coins at the man and kept on riding. Soon though, he slowed his horse down. And he seemed unsure of what to do next. And then he was sure and he turned around. He went back to where the leper was with the begging bowl, picking up the coins off the ground where he had thrown them. And he jumped off of his horse and he embraced him. The leper came to Jesus believing that he could be healed. Now the leper was told to keep it a secret, but he could not keep it a secret. He jumped up and down a healed man and he told everyone. Maybe that's Jesus' plan for evangelism. Tell no one might be the best way to tell everyone. I don't know. But I do know that scars are proof that healing happens. And the really good thing for the former leper was that he could go home, that he could go back into his town, he could go back into his home and his family. He could touch people and other people could touch him. Back to synagogue and back to the temple, back into the bosom of his worshiping community, because he was no longer an outcast. And I have to ask the question, and I want you to echo the question in your own head and heart. Where can I go where I belong completely? Where can I go where people will touch me even if I am broken? Where can I go where I am accepted and loved? Where can I go where I don't have to hide my damage? Where can I go without fear of rejection? Where can I go so that when I reach up and reach out, I can be assured that someone will reach down and hold my hand? I am describing God's kingdom. And what Jesus was preaching was that God's kingdom had come in him. And preaching that good news was the major thing, and the healing of the leper was simply part of the proof that God's kingdom was for real. God's kingdom is the place where I belong completely. Where people will touch me even if I am broken. Where I am accepted and loved. Where I don't have to hide my damage. Where I can go without fear of rejection. Where I can reach up and out and be assured that someone will reach down and hold my hand. And what is Main Street United Methodist Church if not an outpost for that very kingdom of God? The leper knew that God in Christ would welcome him and touch him and make him whole. A little over a month from now, we are going to begin a worship attendance crusade. And we will be welcoming people from all over this community. And you will be inviting and bringing inactive members and relatives and people you work with and friends. And when they get here, will we touch them? And will we accept them? And will we welcome them? I hope so. Because it is God's house, not ours. And Jesus is both the doorkeeper and Jesus is the door. And He's left it wide open. And Jesus touched lepers and He offered them healing and wholeness. May we offer healing and hope to those who come looking for God in the world. May they find God here among us in this outpost of the kingdom. May we stand ready as those who proudly bear healed scars without pretense of perfection, knowing that we need God and knowing that we need each other and knowing this place, this very place, is healing, holy ground. Amen. Receive this blessing. Be blessed in the knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the presence and the guidance now of God the Holy Spirit among you. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.